I was told after the 8 o'clock that I needed to issue a disclaimer that any mention in the lectionary or the sermon of eagles or eagles wings has nothing to do with the bias of the preacher or the Episcopal Church about who might win the Super Bowl. All right, so let's get started with the gospel. Women who hear this gospel passage often smile wryly. They smile because the instant Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law, what does she do? She begins to serve them. I spent last weekend with 50 family members gathered for my grandmother's funeral. I heard story after story of faithful, formidable women who have served our family over the years. My father and uncle recalled my great-grandmother Emma, who lived with them, and who was a much better cook than my grandmother. Their friends figured out the cooking rota, and everyone showed up on the nights that Emma cooked her fried chicken. The men recalled my grandmother's sister Martha, who spoiled them. She sent care packages of rich food to their college dorms, and that drew their friends like vultures. Emma, Martha, and my grandmother Margaret were all heroes in our family. Yet all of these women, at the end of their life, were frustrated by not being able to do what they used to do. Being a hero is hard to sustain with human limitations. Jesus might have been tempted to play the role of hero. It would have been so easy for him to stay in that little town of Simon's and take on that role. He could have spent his whole life there and never run out of business. Every human community has endless ailments, addictions, fears, and anxieties. Jesus seems energized at first by the sheer magnitude of work. In a single Sabbath day, Jesus takes his new disciples to the synagogue and teaches there all morning. At lunchtime, they roll into Simon's house ready for a hot meal and a nap, but the cook is out of commission. So Jesus goes to her, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up. The fever leaves her. News of that miracle spreads like wildfire, and by sundown, the whole city is gathered around the door. Poor mother-in-law. There's no time for her to recover in peace. Now she's hosting the whole town at her house. The heat of bodies packed together mingles with the smell of desperation. Jesus, on a spiritual high, works well into the night. He cures many who are sick with various diseases and casts out many demons. He doesn't get much sleep. In the morning, while it is still very dark, he gets up and goes to a deserted place. And there he prays. Simon and his companions hunt Jesus. When they find him, they're incredulous. Everyone is searching for you. You have work to do. People are sick, tormented by demons they cannot shake. Come back. Jesus surprises them with his answer. Let's go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. And that's what he does. It's not as if he doesn't care about those who are sick. On the way to the next town, he heals a leper. But he keeps his mind fixed on this bigger message. Human need is endless. Jesus could spend all of his short time on earth trying to play the hero and still never meeting all of it. He would never cure all. He'd always cure just many. He'd always leave things undone. While he loves to heal, he's come to do something more. He's come to proclaim this good news. The brokenness of the human condition will not prevail. Our broken relationship with God since the fall will not remain that way. God hunts us. He seeks us out to draw us near him. He loves us and comes not just to heal us piecemeal, one ache or chronic ailment at a time. He comes to heal a whole relationship, a whole community, the whole human family. He comes to heal our internal brokenness, the many things we cannot fix or finish on our own in this life. Isaiah proclaims this good news to his people in exile. Much there is left broken and undone. Israel and Judah have long since split apart. The people of Judah have been driven from Jerusalem, and they've lost just about everything. They're weighed down by chains of exile and their own sin. They have no way to lift themselves up or fix what they've done. So Isaiah offers them perspective, the big picture. The inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. They don't last long. People should not look to earthly princes as heroes. These rulers are like dandelion fluff, blown into the wind. Isaiah's words stir the people's discouraged spirits. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I had the gift of witnessing the truth of this message firsthand a couple of weeks ago. I jumped on a last-minute flight to sit at my grandmother's bedside as she died. After 12 hours in the Atlanta airport, I realized that I might not make it in time. I took a flight to Tallahassee and drove with some strangers to Valdosta and made it there about 4:30 a.m. When I finally got to my grandmother, she was alert but breathing fast. I sang with her, read her Bible to her, and prayed with her. Being there was like witnessing a birth. My parents and I watched this woman move from 100 years of strength and determination into letting go. As the pauses in her breath lengthened, I apologized to her. Grandmommy, I'm going to pray an Episcopal prayer that is mostly for me, but then I promise to pray a Baptist one, a spontaneous one. My father and I said the litany at the time of death. We sinners beseech you to hear us, Lord Christ, that it may please you to deliver the soul of your servant Margaret from the power of evil and from eternal death, to pardon all her sins, to grant her a place of refreshment and everlasting blessedness. I was amazed that this Episcopal prayer did not shy away from the brokenness of the human condition. It addressed anything that might have been left undone, anything that might be unresolved, any fear that could keep us up at night. It covered the things we cannot fix, all that would not make it into the long list of the good things that we've done with our lives. We prayed, set your servant free from every bond. It was good to hear that Jesus moves aside all that weight in the end. He forgives us those things that might stand in our way so that we can move on into eternal life. I close with my Baptist prayer. Dear God, please hold Grandmommy in your arms. I love you, Grandmommy. Jesus loves you. We're going to miss you, but you'll be in heaven with your parents, with Granddaddy, with your sisters, and with Jesus. And she breathed her last. It was one of the most holy moments I've ever experienced. While it was a gift for me to be there, my presence was not necessary. Whether or not I had made it in time, the good news would have been true in that moment regardless. My grandmother got many things right. She even died well. But there were some things that hadn't gone the way she wanted or the way her children had hoped. The prayer at the time of death reminded me, and I hope her, that those things were handled, wrapped up. She could lay them at the foot of the cross and go. Jesus would carry those and lift her up. That's the good news that Jesus comes to proclaim. All those things that weigh us down, Jesus moves aside. All those things beyond fixing in this world, he takes from us. He lifts us up and renews our strength. He raises us up as on eagle's wings. Jesus did not come as a hero to fix our ills piecemeal on this earth. He came to this earth to proclaim that the good news of God's reconciling love for us is true, whether or not it seems to be, whether or not we are discouraged, whether or not we get the physical healing we so desire. Jesus calls us, his disciples, not to fix the world as its heroes. What we do is less important than who he is. were to proclaim the good news of God's reconciling love to each other. In the celebration of new ministry last Wednesday, we rejoiced that Good Shepherd has renewed its strength. This church has been raised up to new life. We're not to tie up heavy burdens of blame or judgment on each other's backs. We're to proclaim this: we are all forgiven and free. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.